If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And yes, you are on Bump and Beyond with me, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're chatting parenting. This week on Friday, the 14th of March, is World Sleep Day. And obviously, you don't really have to give me an excuse to talk about sleep. So I'm very excited today to be sharing a little bit about sleep and to see if we can help you and your baby and your children to sleep better. As always, I do want you to be part of this conversation. So if you have any questions about sleep, if you're, I mean, come on, let's do it everywhere. You can ask about baby sleep. You could ask about toddler sleep. You can ask about children's sleep, even adult sleep. I might not be able to answer you, but I'm going to try. But please do join the conversation. You can send me a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019. You can also access the WhatsApp line through our, our app. If you don't have the app yet, why? Why do you not have the app yet? You can listen to this show and all of our shows, as well as all our podcasts on the app. So go get the app, access it, and also interact with us because we want to hear what's going on. Also, even if you don't have a question about sleep, maybe in your past life you didn't sleep well and now you're sleeping better and you don't know why. I have my sleep personally is actually not bad. I get there's 3 or 4 days during the month where I sleep horribly. The rest of the time I have to say that I actually sleep really, really well, which is good because obviously I work with sleep and it would have been embarrassing if I didn't sleep well. But I'm an absolute enemy. If you haven't noticed yet, please go listen to all my other podcasts and you will realize that I am a superb creature of habit. So I like things like bedtime routine and consistent bedtime routines and things like that. So yes, again, let me know your bedtime routine. If you have one, do you like me look at your phone or your iPad before you go to bed? Do you listen to podcasts? Do you read a book? What do you do as part of your bedtime? I would love to know that. So please do share with us on the WhatsApp 061-895-1019. But again, today my expert is not really for adults because this is a parenting show. it is one of the Good Night consultants, but she's also a mom of 2 boys and also an OT. So my guest today is Yunal Basson. Hello, Yunal. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Yolandi. Thanks so much for having me.
Are you sleeping well?
I think I agree with you. I have 1 or 2 or 3 nights a month where it's just not all adding up. But most of the time, yes, I do love my sleep and I do try to get enough and good quality of it myself. I'm just a better mom when I sleep well.
Yes, no, I also know I agree. And I mean, maybe also, I mean, what we do, I obviously adds to the fact that we know that sleep is important and it's good for your mental health and things like that. But I mean, love sleep is also maybe the exact right word. And I think also where the passion comes from for what we do is the fact that we actually do love sleep.
Definitely.
And those 2 or 3 nights where I really sleep bad for whatever reason, who knows what it is that causes, maybe it's full moon or something. But those 2 or 3 nights a week or a month, it's not a week, a month, that I don't sleep well, then I feel like I do get an appreciation again for my clients. And then I feel like sympathy when they're telling me they're waking up 2 or 3 times a night. But yes, before we get into the big questions of how we can improve sleep and how we can better, I did actually want to share some facts about sleep as well, for everyone to know, because in general, I want to always create awareness about the importance of sleep. And it's funny because if we are, you know, as human beings want to be better, we often look at the wake time that we have, how to improve our health and things like that, to eat better, to exercise more and those things. And I think that sometimes, I mean, for me, I don't, because my whole life is sleep. So I actually take for granted sometimes that how little people know about sleep and how little importance they put on sleep, because for me it's kind of a given and it should be part of it. But lots of people don't realize how important sleep is. And now as I'm getting older as well, even with my body, I realize everything works together. I recently had an injury on my leg from running too much. And you think like, oh, the pain is here on the side of my knee. But then I realize, oh, it's connected with my upper leg. It's connected with my butt and I don't know what all. And again, how everything works together. So if you want to be a healthy human being, you can't just exercise. You can't just eat well. It is a combination of all those things. So sleep plays an intricate role in being overall healthy. And it also has an impact on your mental health and all sorts of things. But yes, some of the facts that I wanted to share here is that, thank you for ChatGTP and AI for giving me all these facts. babies don't develop a circadian rhythm until around 3 to 4 months. I knew that, so I knew that already. And this is why newborns sleep they wake frequently and don't have a set sleep schedule. So a little bit of a side note for you to know. That's why we also don't do sleep training for babies or for newborns. Sleep deprivation affects parents' mental and physical health. Again, I just have to have one or two nights where I wake up a little bit more, and the next day I can feel it. I can feel how much crankier I am. And I mean, that's just crankier. But it really does have an impact on that. And it's also poor sleep is linked with increased stress, anxiety, and also with postpartum depression. So it is important to get your Z's in. And I often also tell parents, if you're feeling tired, you should know that your child is also feeling tired. And they just often look better than us because they're babies. You know, I also remember when I was 20 years old and went out partying and I could still function the next day. I can't do that anymore. And babies are very good at masking their sleep deprivation. Overtiredness can actually make it harder for babies and toddlers to fall asleep. More often than not, we think that it's actually going to make them sleep better if they're building up a little bit of sleep debt. But sleep debt actually leads to increased cortisol, making it harder for kids to fall asleep. So very interesting facts. I don't know. Why do you feel, you know, that sleep is important?
Why do I feel it's important?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I think like you mentioned, I think I only realized how important it was once I became a mom and I didn't have it. When you're young, you sleep well, you don't think about it. You don't think about how many hours a night you sleep. But the moment you become a mom yourself and you start having to wake up in the night, you realize how important it is. And then when you see your little baby or your child not sleeping great, you also see the consequences of disrupted sleep. So I think, I think, like I said before, I'm just a better mom. I'm a better human being when I am getting good sleep. And I can see the same with my kids. They're older now, they're 12 and 9. And still, I put a lot of emphasis on sleep. I think society has taken the focus off sleep so much and focus on nutrition, healthy nutrition and stimulation. I see so many moms with babies who are hardly 6 months old and they are already enrolled in music classes and stimulation classes. And the other day I saw a 3 month old doing ballet. I thought to myself, how on earth can they do ballet class with a baby in arms? But what I'm trying to say is I think so much emphasis is being put on those things to help your child have a kickstart and a better start to life that we've forgotten about the basics, and sleep is as basic a need as healthy nutrition.
Yeah, and definitely babies are obviously or human beings, not babies, human beings are actually built for sleep. And it's a very natural thing. And like you said, I think as a society, we've also kind of, I don't know, put a badge of honor if you can get away with less sleep. And that shouldn't be the case. You should really, and I mean, I even went to a talk recently on fitness and like bettering your running. Obviously, I was talking about running, not just fitness. And this person said that people need to focus on good sleep.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, and in celebration of World Sleep Day, I obviously took the opportunity to talk about sleep. Why wouldn't I? I would take every opportunity. I think it would be boring, though, maybe people will start falling asleep if I talk about sleep all the time. My guest expert today is good night sleep consultant, Yunal Basson. She's also a qualified OT, but she's also been with Good Night for quite some time. So this is like really, I feel, the top of expert level of sleep that we're talking to today. So we really need to milk this cow, I feel, today. Thank you, Yunal, so much for joining me today. If you want to be part of the conversation, if you have any questions, if you're struggling with sleep, if you're struggling especially with your child's sleep, please send us a message. You can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. Of course, you can also probably email us at instudio@highfm, but WhatsApp is much easier. Just WhatsApp. It's easy to do. We would love to hear from you. So for me, it's interesting. You know, we've been doing this for quite some time. And for me, it's always, I love to see through the years, the challenges that parents face and how parenting in some ways change, like parents change, but in the same way, also things just stay very much the same. But I mean, what do you feel is some of the most common challenges now that you see that parents struggle with? I mean, for me, at one point, I really felt that, you know, people were noticing, like you said, babies need a lot of sleep and we need to make our bedtime around seven, around there. And nowadays, often again, I'm in a place where I'm moving bedtimes that are 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock earlier. What do you find that as well? What are you seeing as some of the most common challenges that parents struggle with?
I think, Yolandi, these days with such a busy lifestyle that parents have, and most parents working, I do feel that parents struggle with trying to stick to something that's a routine, that's healthy, and fitting in with life and what's practical. Yeah. Like a lot of parents only get home quite late from the office, and the baby's obviously, the baby doesn't mind that. He's been awake all day long. It's time for bed, but for them to then still fit in some quality time with their child and dinner and social life and all of that, I think parents really struggle these days. And I think that's something that wasn't maybe a couple of years ago. Let's say when we were children, I think that was something that was quite different from how it is today. Life is just so much busier, and trying to balance a household, having kids, sticking to a routine that works for your child, and still having a bit of a life, social life. I think that is a challenge these days, but it's definitely something you can do, but you just need.
But how can you do it?
Well, the first thing is, I think just knowledge is power. So first knowing what is right for your child in terms of age, something that's age appropriate and something that will help your child go down easily. Like you said, overtiredness causes multiple issues, them fighting bedtime, whether it's a baby, whether it's a toddler, whether it's a school child. When you're overtired, the fact is that you struggle more at bedtime, or you struggle more throughout the night. You have more disruptive sleep. So first of all, knowing what is age appropriate for that child, and not just saying, oh, whatever will be, because that's not going to be the answer. And then trying to fit that in with your schedule. So maybe thinking about changing the routine in the day a little to fit a bedtime that is still appropriate, but that works for you. And then also when it's weekends and you're out and about, knowing where to draw the line, because too much of a good thing is also not great. Knowing where to draw the line, and but also knowing that it's a bit of a give and take between your child and your life. Your baby needs to adjust to your lifestyle to a certain degree, but you also need to remember if your child is still napping in the day or your child is still quite young, that you need to be mindful. And knowing that on-the-go naps, perfectly fine, but I always say to parents, an on-the-go nap or a bedtime that is not at home in the correct way, perfectly fine. It's like junk food. Now and then doing it that way, not a problem. But the majority, as far as you can, needs to be good, healthy sleep. So like I say, a bit of a give and take from both ends.
No, no, and I agree with you. And I think, like, I mean, a question I get lots of times, or a want, let me say that, where parents often tell me, it's like, I just want my child to be able to sleep anywhere.
Oh, yes.
And then I'm like, I mean, it's a nice idea, but I mean, it's also, and they often give the example, and it's so hilarious for me, like often parents give the example. I remember when I fell asleep at weddings underneath the table and things like
that. But again, Yolandi, that was the exception to the rule. How many weddings do you think your parents
have taken? That's exactly what I'm like asking there. It's like, how many weddings do you go to that this is a need that you want your child? And I mean, the thing is that I think that parents often forget, or they don't forget it, but they don't really think about it, is that babies are humans. They're not robots in the end of the day. They can't just do, and just like us, and I mean, some babies, especially when they're smaller, often can sleep anywhere. Most of them, not all of them, definitely there's lots of my own son. He never slept in a car, never slept anywhere. He only slept at home properly. But most of the time I was at home. And even if I was out for one nap a day, which I never was, I mean, with a small child at home, you're not that, what do you call it, social. But it was the exception. And so, but I mean, he slept well at home. So I feel in the end of the day, you want your child to sleep as well as possible when you are home, so that when those exceptions happen, they can cope so much better with a skipped nap or falling asleep in a different way or going to bed later.
Yeah.
So that's what you want, to ensure that when they are home, they are sleeping as well as possible. And you have to think, I was like, can you sleep anywhere? Can you sleep when there's a party going on? No. And most people can't. My husband can. My husband can sleep anywhere, really. I was like, honestly. But most people can't. I think lots of husbands can sleep anywhere. Actually, I would like to know that. Hey, send me some WhatsApps and let me know if your husband can sleep anywhere. I would love to know that. You can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. This is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're talking about sleep, the importance of sleep, and also giving some tips and also guidance on, and I think sometimes that helps parents to, and because I just now had a conversation with a mom as well that just started. And she was like, no, the naps now for today, I mean, it's also only halfway through the day. And she was like, yeah, but the nap this morning was now only 45 minutes long. And it's not, and I read somewhere my baby has to sleep 2 hours in the morning. And I'm like, no. Your baby's 4 months old. A 45-minute nap is a good nap. Anything longer is a bonus. And I sometimes think if you're reading all these things and all sorts of things like this, like your baby has to sleep 2 hours, I think you're putting unnecessary pressure on yourself. Because if it doesn't happen, then you're thinking, am I doing something wrong? Is there something wrong with my baby? But in reality, you need to find your baby's rhythm and your baby's normal. And I can assure you, after 10 years of doing this, I'm not lying when I'm saying every baby is different. And sometimes even for me, I'm surprised at how different they can be. We do actually have a question, and it fits in so nicely with what we're talking about now. whether, you know, someone is asking, at what age can I expect that my baby is going to sleep through the night? So it's a good question. You know?
Well, that is so different for every baby. I've had babies as newborns who already start sleeping through, and then I've had babies at 9 months who can only sleep through for the first time. So it's very different. Every baby's milk needs in the night is different. But we usually say that if a baby is healthy, a baby is having good nutrition in the day in terms of milk feeds in the day, enough calories, and then also meals and protein and good healthy nutrition, then from 9 months old, they should not need any milk feeds in the night anymore.
Yeah.
If everything medically spoken is in place as well, of course.
Yeah.
But it is definitely possible for them to do it much earlier as well.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I would like to actually start the question or my answer to it. I would like to first just clarify what I see as sleeping through. Because some parents, and I've had it lots of times, I remember when my son was like a baby. I was in a mom's class and I came back and I was like crying, like, because everyone's babies were sleeping through and mine wasn't. And I didn't understand what I was doing wrong or what was happening. And then I spoke with the one mom a little bit more about it. And then she's like, yo, my baby sleeps through. He only wakes up 3 times to feed, but he's waking up. And I was like, okay, then my child is also sleeping through. But so when we say sleeping through, we mean you're putting down your baby at around between 6 and 7 in the evening. And then they wake up in the morning around 6 and 7. With no intervention in between. So that's what. So 11 to 12 hours of you not having to go in. Doesn't mean your baby's not waking up. That I have to also say. You have to remember that we spend quite a lot of time in active REM sleep at night. So that's not. But it's not necessary for you to go feed or to go help your baby back to sleep. So that's what I, and also probably you know, means when we say sleeping through the night. And it is, I've, my own daughter slept already through it around 4 months. Then she went through a phase where she had an early morning feed. But yes, we have, what do you call it, lots of things. Oh, I have a long message here. I can't wait to go read that later. But yeah, so sleeping through the night is that, first of all. So sleeping through the night is already possible at a very young age. But us, at Good Night, only start, we rather create the right circumstances for babies to naturally push out feeds. Up until 9 months of age. So we don't forcefully push out feeds before 9 months of age. It doesn't mean it can't happen. It definitely does. More often than not, between 6 and 9 months, most babies, healthy growing babies, can actually go without a feed at night. So if you have the right things in place, they naturally push it out before 9 months. But if by 9 months they're not, then we will be a little bit more pushy, for lack of a better word. I wouldn't necessarily say we're all pushy, but because it's still a 9-month-old. But it is very unlikely that a 9-month-old still requires any nighttime feeding when they're healthy and growing. So I hope that answers your question. It's like a very long-winded answer, I feel. But it's so, I think that also comes with experience of what parents, again, what they perceive as being sleeping through. And if you have a good stretch at night until early morning and your baby, even 9-10 months old, feeds at 4 a.m. and then sleeps again and you're fine with it, then it's fine. I'd say don't scratch where it's not itching. And that's a when is a good time for sleep training? You know, what's your answer to that? Why? When is a good time to sleep train your child?
I always say to parents, there's no wrong or right when it comes to sleep. As long as your baby is safe, then there's no wrong or right. But when you feel whatever you've been doing is not working for your baby anymore, or for you, or for your family, then you know it's time to make a change. No. And that doesn't necessarily mean sleep training, but getting some professional help to get things back on track and to make things easier for the whole family.
Yeah, and better. In the end of the day, life is about more than just sleep, even though probably for me and you now, it's a very big part of our life. but life is about more than just sleep. And if any part of the parenting journey takes more time than what is necessary. So if you thinking about your child sleeping or your child's feeding or anything, 90% of the time, 10% of the other things, you only have time for 10% of the other things, then it's time for it to change. You shouldn't be so obsessive about it. Then something needs to change.
Yeah, I just had a client. I helped them with both their boys. They're 6 and 3 years old, and they were both still sleeping in mom's bed with her, and they've been doing it for years. And the mom just got to a point, the mom and the dad, probably the dad first because he was the one getting kicked out of the bed, but they just got to a point where they said, okay, now it's time for the boys to move into their own beds, into their own rooms. And we did it.
Yeah.
So there's no right or wrong. Now, I often get a question. They phone me, and even if the baby's like 10 months old, they ask me, is it too late to do it now?
Yeah.
And I always say it's never too late to make changes for the better.
Yeah. No, and I like that. Oh, look at that. I like that whole thinking about it. So, but how much sleep, because now we've talked about a lot also about like the importance of sleep and all those type of things, but how much sleep does, let's start with like a baby. How much sleep does a small baby need for a proper amount of sleep?
Okay, so I always say to parents, roughly 11 to 12 hours of nighttime sleep is applicable from, let's say, from 4 months old, even up to, let's say, 6 years or so. I'm talking very rough numbers now. But when they're tiny and they're still just a couple of months old, they need additional sleep, and that comes in the form of naps. So when they're very young, they need more naps. And as they grow older, the night stays the same, the amount of sleep they need in the night. But the naps get less and less and less, and they start dropping naps. So at 4 months, they roughly need about 4 naps a day. Around 6 months, 7 months, they need only 3 naps. And then from about 8, 9 months, they only need 2 naps. And eventually between 12 and 16 months, they drop to only 1 nap a day. And that last nap drops away, I want to say, anywhere between 2.5 years, even up to 4 years sometimes. Unlikely that it's going to stay that long because of schools and all sorts of things. But yeah, it's...
But I mean, it's also like, I mean, it's a good point also to talk a little bit about older children, because so many of my kids' friends have such late bedtime. My son is 13 and he goes to bed at 8:30 now. And it's only like recently that I've done that he's like a little bit later that he goes to bed. But for it is, your child still requires quite a lot of sleep, even at 13 years. So yes, having an appropriate bedtime does make a huge, big difference.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Welcome back. If you've just joined me, you've missed a very insightful conversation so far about sleep and the importance of sleep for your child, how much sleep your child needs. So my guest today is Yunal Basson. She's actually a good night sleep consultant and also mom of two. And we, again, talking about sleep, we've had some really nice questions about sleep as well. What for you, if you could say one thing, maybe I should allow you to say two things, that could make people sleep better tonight, what would be that thing that they can already implement that's going to make a difference for their sleep?
Yolandi, if you ask me that, I'm always going to say the same thing. I don't know whether it's because it made such a difference in my life with my own babies, but I believe in a day routine and specifically an awake time of how long your child needs to be awake for in between naps and in between sleeps. I truly believe that overtiredness is your worst enemy when it comes to sleep. So like you said, our logical thinking often tells us my child's not napping great or he's not sleeping great. Let me keep him up a little bit longer because hopefully he sleeps a little better, or he sleeps in tomorrow morning if I put him down too late and I stretch him a little. But often the opposite is true. If you push your baby to be awake for too long, cortisol builds up, it causes overtiredness, and that cortisol causes unnecessary wake-ups, short naps often, and often early morning wake-ups. So for me, if you don't want to change anything else, just start with an age-appropriate day routine. And that in itself can already make a big difference. That's number one.
Yeah.
And then number two, the bedtime routine. Just a nice, calm bedtime routine that's not too long, and that helps set you up for a good night's sleep.
No, I definitely, for me also, if someone asked me, I would always say definitely a bedtime routine. But on the note, just before we run out of time, there's two mechanisms, and that's why the sleep pressure during the day is such a, or an awake window, such an important thing during the day, is that there's two mechanisms that help us to sleep. It's sleep pressure, and that's that awake window of, and we actually don't even notice this chemical building up in our brain throughout the day. You would probably notice it if you had a busier day than normal. You would be more tired at the end of those days if you had like attended a training or something. But there's actually not a time in the human life where we learn more or grow more than in the first 2 years of our lives. So there's an incredible amount of learning that happens in that first two. I mean, you must have heard, I think they call it the 1,000 days of life or whatever they call it. That first 2 years of your baby's life is a lot of brain connections happen. And that is why babies still need daytime sleep. Is because their brain literally cannot cope with the amount of learning that is happening and the amount of brain connections that is happening. Their brain literally is going, you really need to nap now because I can't take this anymore. They nap and that alleviates that pressure. And just like with you, if you skip or go to bed later, your body reacts in a certain way if it doesn't happen in that way. And that's why often cortisol then produces and things like that to wake your baby up. Sometimes even adrenaline will start producing if it's long enough to wake your baby up to help the body cope if that pressure is not alleviated. Okay. And this is again, and that's why that awake windows are so important throughout the day, is to keep an eye on that sleep pressure, that your baby is not too overtired and that they can actually cope with the amount of learning that is happening and give their brain just a little bit of a rest what is happening. And that's the one thing. And the other thing that helps us to sleep is what is referred to as the circadian rhythm. And that's our internal clock that helps. And that's melatonin production. Melatonin is only produced at night or later at night with children a little bit earlier. And that's why the timing of the bedtime is also so important, because there is a time where your body starts producing. Even if you don't have the perfect environmental factors in place, I'm telling you, your body, your internal clock is so strong. At a certain time, your body will start producing melatonin. And to help your baby fall asleep in an appropriate way, you want to get that sleep pressure timing right as well as the bedtime right. And then you have the optimal time for them to fall asleep. And that's generally around 6 and 7 at night that it will happen for most babies. Another thing that I wanted to, what would you, before you go, you know, before we run out of time, yeah, what would you say would be a good bedtime routine?
Well, I would definitely start with a nice warm bath. Even for those moms who don't sleep great, maybe try this for a while. Research has shown that when you start with a bath, that taking off your clothes and the cool air on the body into the warm water and out again, the cool air on the body again, that difference between the warmth and the cool air simulates the difference between day and night. And it triggers melatonin production in the brain, and it gives you a little bit of a spike of melatonin. And half an hour from starting with a bath, half an hour later, that melatonin is giving you that little bit of a spike. And that's when you want to put your child to bed or your baby to bed. So I would always start with a nice warm bath. So don't do the bath too early. You miss out on that special effect. And then after the bath, it's nice one-on-one time with your child, the usual, whether you do nice lotions or a bit of a massage, a dressing, or when it's a toddler, getting into bed with them and reading a book or two and nice cuddles. And then after that, your baby needs to go to sleep.
Yeah. No, and I really like that. And I think that's also for me, if someone asks me about bedtime, I always say to them, the most important thing for me about bedtime, I mean, a bath is really important. And I do think a bath or a shower or that temperature change is an important thing as part of the bedtime. But it's about bonding. Especially, you mentioned earlier, the busy lives that parents have these days and whatever. Your child actually doesn't need a lot of attention. They just need undistracted one-on-one proper attention. So when you're doing this 30-minute bedtime routine, make sure you're not distracted. Don't have phones with you. Don't have anything. Focus on them. Focus on getting proper quality time. It's not about the quantity necessarily. We don't always have the quantity time because we just don't have the time always. Of course not. But then when you are having it, make sure that you're getting that quality time.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, another show has come to an end. And it was a good one because I spoke about sleep, and I love talking about sleep. My guest today was Yonel Basson, who's also a sleep consultant at Good Night. Yonel, before you go, and before I officially say bye to you, please let people know where they can reach you.
Well, you guys are always welcome to visit our website at www.goodnightbaby.co.za. And then feel free to join us on Facebook as well, our Facebook page. We're on Instagram. And even on our website, you are welcome to click the button and connect with one of our sleep consultants. Even if you just want to have a quick chat to find out whether your situation is normal or whether there is something we can help with, we do a quick free assessment for you over the phone.
Great. Thank you so much, Yonel. It was, as always, wonderful to speak to you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Yolandi.
It was really a lacquer talk today. And please don't despair if you've missed a talk today about sleep. You can go listen to our podcast on hivefm.com when you have time. This show and lots of other shows, I've spoken about sleep many times before. I've spoken about lots of different parenting things many times, many different topics. As always, I do want to know if there is a specific topic you would like me to cover, something you would want me to talk about, something you would like me to share. Please do send me an email and on Yolandi. It's Yolandi with a J, J-O-L-A-N-D-I at goodnightbaby.co.za, that you can send me an email. I would love to. You can also send an email to Kathy. She will forward it on to me, kathy@highfm.com. Also, even in studio at highfm.com, someone will find me. Don't you worry. I do get the information. But next week, I am going to talk about development and how we can actually, so from the sleeping things to the awake things, I'm going to talk about development and how we can assist our children in developing, what does normal development look like, and like I said, some tricks that we can help our children in that journey of development to ensure that 1,000 days of their first life actually happens. And my expert next week is the owner of Wikkelfinger, Marizelda Kombrink, who's going to join me. So I'm looking forward to that wonderful chat with her. As always, it was wonderful to have you with me, and I look forward to next week. But please go out there. Remember that one of the greatest gifts that we can give our children is the example of kindness. So in this world where it's very seldom seen, be the example of kindness and be kind to someone today. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, enjoy your day.